This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on elevating our leadership and our communication skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill. And in our episode today, well, I get to have some fun with a conversation that left me eager to dig back into an old topic. And you're going to have to bear with me because this might be the umpteenth episode that could probably be compiled into a case for why I should have studied psychology more when I was in college. But alas, I approach this topic as a layman and can only build off others' arguments. Really can't construct my own, not super well anyway. I just have some beliefs on that I'll add to the matter. Here's the thing. I have a close relative who has held firm belief, I've seen my whole life, that everything people do, they ultimately do it for themselves. Every act of generosity, every sacrifice, every time someone shows up when it costs them something, that according to this worldview, it all traces back to self-interest. In other words, there's no altruism. And I've heard this my whole life from this individual. And I have approached it from a lot of different angles and viewpoints as a result of the consistency of which I've heard this argument. And I want to take on the question I suspect that you've also been asked or have quietly wondered yourself, is altruism even real? And coupled with it is, of course, the inverse of this. Do people do things they do purely for selfish reasons only? And whatever you think on the matter, I think the more pressing question is going to be in regards to how those beliefs translate into how you communicate or lead other people. And this all sounds deep, right? These are the kinds of questions that we might have first encountered back in high school or college in a psychology class. But in our professional lives, these come up too. They tend to resurface in a very different setting, maybe late at night at a conference, too late into the night, even when the conversations have long left shop talk. And you can probably guess which is the more recent case for me, as this was absolutely the trigger for a conversation. Just one of those late night conversations that you have with industry colleagues that turns into really interesting philosophical topics. There's a bewitching hour where after that time has passed, everyone is a philosopher and it's amazing. So if you haven't had a chance to have those sort of conversations, it is actually a lot of fun to have a healthy, spirited, intellectual debate with someone who has strong opinions on any subject whatsoever, as long as you are both good with the topic. So anyway, I really do. I hope you have fun with this topic as much as I do. I'm even going to tie it back into the United States of America's 250th birthday, which is coming up here on July 4th and only about just a little over a month away here. Okay, now before we jump in, we do have a word of the day, which is in the title. And this is worth defining before we go too far, but we will define this word for you. It is altruism. We'll define it for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible.
Autoflow is your partner in technology. With Autoflow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com.
Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com.
Supercharge your auto shop with Inbound, AI-powered communication analytics and phone service for your professional shops. Visit callinbound.com.
Want a more profitable shop? Start with your service advisor. They are the face of your business, the voice on the phone, and the key to every approved repair. ServiceAdvisorTraining.com is dedicated to giving them the tools and training they deserve.
We are back. Our word of the day is altruism. That is a noun that is the selfless concern for the well-being of others, and that is being debated, at least in some hotel bars or restaurants late at night at an industry conference or maybe a high school or college near you. There's an inversion to altruism. Let's start here because the belief that all actions people take are ultimately for self-interest has a name itself in philosophy. It's called psychological egoism. I'm not going to get too heavy into the terminology here today. I want to keep the surface level. Psychological egoism.
And the claim is this, it's that all human motivation is ultimately self-serving. Even when we appear to be helping others, we are really just doing it because it makes us feel good, or because we expect something in return, or because we want to be seen a certain way. And you have heard this idea, even if you have never heard the term psychological egoism. It shows up in conversations about charity, about faith, about service. It is the voice that says, sure, they helped, but only because it made them feel good about themselves. Sounds like a sophisticated argument. Sounds like someone who's seen through an illusion, right? And I want to be fair. This idea does carry some historical weight. Serious thinkers built entire political philosophies around it, and it shaped how nations were designed and how power was justified. And we're about to examine whether it actually holds up in 15 to 20 minutes. But when you look at it closely, like the scholars on the subject are very, very interesting. We will only, again, be surface level on this. But I want to tackle the argument against psychological egoism, and I am not the guy to do it. That's good, because basically, while I do personally disagree with psychological egoism, it can't be proven false. And that is by design. Every selfless act gets reframed as a secretly selfish act. Take these examples, right? Like a mother runs into a burning building to rescue her child. A psychological egoist would say she did it because she could not bear the guilt of not acting. Doesn't sound like any mother I know, but okay. Then perhaps someone donates a kidney to a stranger completely anonymously. A psychological egoist would say they did it for the sense of moral satisfaction. Or a soldier who falls on a grenade. True stories of this abound. A psychological egoist might say that deep down, this person wanted to be remembered. I don't think that's accurate either. And some of these things would probably resonate with you as like, yeah, no, that doesn't jive. It doesn't quite connect. But there's people who will argue this, and they'll argue it better than I would. The philosopher who made this argument probably most notably was Thomas Hobbes, writing in the book Leviathan. That was in 1651. I have in my notes. I don't remember these things without notes. And his position was direct. The core claims, I'm just going to summarize very succinctly. There's just 4 points here. He says, Hobbes says, every voluntary act a person performs has their own good as its objective. Even giving a gift is ultimately self-serving because all voluntary acts are motivated by the giver's own pleasure. They take joy in the giving of it, and that was their selfish motivation, is what he's arguing. His next point is human beings are driven by a restless desire for power and self-preservation above all else. That above all else is the thing carrying a lot of the weight in that bullet point. And then he adds his third point here, what looks like morality or generosity is really just self-interest wearing a more presentable face. And his last point is, without a sovereign power enforcing order, pure self-interest would reduce human life to a state of perpetual conflict. The social contract exists not because people are generous, but because they are afraid. That is all cited from Leviathan. All right. Wow. Maybe we could dive into that for a while, and we could, but we're not going to. We have to be brief here. So I'm just going to jump straight to something that operates against that line of logic. The religious philosopher, Joseph Butler, made several points that I find very useful here. Butler was an Anglican bishop. He preached in a series called 15 Sermons. I think it was actually 15 Sermons. I don't know this for a fact, but that's the title of it as I was reading in this encyclopedia of psychology, Internet Encyclopedia of Psychology. Fascinating places you can go and dig into these characters these days. Very easy if you're interested. So Anglican bishop preaching on this stuff. This is in 1729, a little bit after Hobbes. And these still are read and studied today. Butler read Hobbes carefully and had access to that, of course, and responded directly. And here's what he found. His 4 points would say this. Benevolence is a genuine part of human nature alongside self-interest, not a disguised form of it. Both exist. Both are real. Sort of a yes and. He's not arguing that people don't do things for selfish reasons. He's arguing that sometimes they do things for benevolent reasons. This will come up again in another one of his points. And he said the outcome is not the motive. When you help someone and feel satisfaction afterward, that feeling followed your action. The object of your desire was the other person's well-being. Confusing what follows an act with what caused it is a category
error. I love this point. The outcome is not the motive. This is key, I feel. And then third point from Butler. The instinct to serve your own interests and the instinct to seek the well-being of others are compatible. They are not in competition. And one does not secretly explain away the other. Next point, fourth point. Benevolence is as much a part of human nature as self-love. Psychological egoism does not disprove benevolence. It simply ignores it. So if you're like me, you start hearing Butler's points and you want to say, yeah, I agree with you and this is good. But I'm going to just go a little further. I do love if you agree with me on this point. I really, really do. But I think that there's some elements that help like synthesize this to what we talk about already on the podcast. And here it is. And I would call this segment the Carnegie Anchor. Dale Carnegie said, there is no neutral exchange. There's no such thing as a neutral exchange. Every interaction leaves the other person a little better or a little worse. And if you believe that, and I do, then the entire orientation of genuine service is outward. It is directed at the other person. Their well-being is the goal. If you derive satisfaction from seeing someone's well-being be increased, that doesn't make you selfish because that makes you happy. That's good that that made you happy, and it's good that you had the goal for someone else's interest. You may benefit from serving someone. You may feel good. You may earn trust, build relations, or see results from it. None of that makes the act selfish. The benefit that follows does not reach back and rewrite your intention. Doesn't mean you couldn't go into the action with all of those intents. It just doesn't mean that those actions are only ever done with those intents. I think about this in my own work. I've long believed that if you focus on bringing genuine value to the people that are right in front of you, the results will follow. You do not chase the outcome of those results. You tend what produces it. The fruit follows the root. This is not naive idealism here. This is how service actually does work, because other people are going to be focused on serving other people too, and you're other people to other people. So it's not foolish to think that eventually, yes, there's potentially an upside benefit of you having bettered others. That's how society becomes strong. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from AutoFlow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using AutoFlow. With AutoFlow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit AutoFlow.com. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected, while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound for proven expertise and unmatched innovation. Visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. What if you knew exactly what to say to the price shopper, the upset customer, the person who says they cannot afford it? Every day, service advisors lose customers not because of bad service, but because of the wrong words at the wrong moment. Words That Work is a free phone scripts playbook built for auto service professionals.
Every script includes the reasoning behind it, so you understand not just what to say, but why it works. Grab your free copy at serviceadvisortraining.com.
Hang on here, because this will get a little more theological in a little for a second here, and I want you to go along with me on this. There's something I think it's worth naming, and if you do just sit with me, I'll explain this as simply as I can. C.S. Lewis, I've been reading a lot of his stuff lately. It's probably dripped into so many episodes now I can't even keep count, but he spent a good portion of his life trying to articulate a very particular kind of longing. Not happiness, exactly. Not satisfaction. Something he described as a joy that points beyond itself, a desire you cannot manufacture, cannot possess, and cannot hold on to directly, and it arrives sideways, often unexpectedly. And it always seems to be pointing, as C.S. Lewis would say, further up, further in. And I believe that the joy that comes from genuinely serving another person is one of the places where we brush up against that longing. It arrives when you were not chasing it. It feels like more than something you could have earned. And it does not complete you so much as it would align you with how I think we were meant to live. And that is not selfishness. That completes a longing we cannot fully articulate. And it points to someone or something beyond and greater than the self. And I want to be honest with you here on what I fear the psychological egoist worldview could cost practically. Now, in my experience, no judgment here. All people, self included, are prone to selfishness. And frequently we are oriented towards ourselves. Most people that recognize this are also recognize that when we feel at our worst and find ourselves ultimately unfulfilled, it's typically because we've been too focused on the self and not on others. Gosh, a practical example of this, like I'll sit here at my desk and work day in, day in, day out and not feel like direct tangible benefits of some of that work, and just going out and interacting with others, having just upbeat conversation. I think it's one expression of this. Like if we are too isolated, that's not good for us. The point I want to make here is that I think it's risky to embrace psychological egoism and use that as a rationalization as the way of all things. If you genuinely believe no one ever does anything for someone else, it may be worth asking, when is the last time you did? If you feel a nice deed was selfish because it made you feel good, lean back on Butler's points and then maybe ask why it felt good and lean into that conversation instead. And you may discover something further up and further in as well. Now, after all, if everything is ultimately selfish, then sacrifice is pointless. Service is an illusion, and showing up for someone at real cost to yourself is just a story you tell for a greater gain. And that idea left unchallenged quietly erodes the willingness to give anything away, and it gives people permission to stop. And I don't want to see that. In closing, I want to say another C.S. Lewis thing. I'm getting picked on lately by my wife and some of my friends at church too for citing C.S. Lewis way too frequently, so I'm sorry. And if it gets funny for you, I'm happy that that's the case instead of frustration. But C.S. Lewis once wrote that it is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, that the dullest, most uninteresting person you will talk to today may one day be a creature so glorified you would be tempted to worship them, or else something so diminished it would only appear in a nightmare. And then he said this, all day long, we are, in some degree, helping each other to one or other of these destinations. Carnegie said there was no neutral exchange. Lewis said the same thing with the stakes made very plain in his view. And as we approach the 250 years as a nation, now here in the United States, hello friends in Australia, we're yes, proud Americans. It is worth remembering that the American experiment was built by people who looked at Hobbes' view of human nature and said, no, they bet on something better. John Locke's social contract theory. Locke believed people were capable of reason, natural sympathy, and genuine moral obligation to others. His whole political framework rests on the idea that people have natural rights. Locke said life, liberty, and property. Jefferson, of course, removed property from that and put in pursuit of happiness in our Declaration of Independence. But those people have natural rights, and that those rights exist precisely because human beings have inherent worth that others are obligated to respect. And that is not a self-interest argument. That is the opposite of one. And that is still worth celebrating. So is altruism real? I believe yes. I hope you do too. Hey, we appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps or suggestions on topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show that will help you on your communication journey. I hope you found this topic interesting and are just even intrigued to go dig a little deeper into the subject or spark a philosophical debate with me by email. We can do it there too, folks. Reach out, email me here, speakup@craigoneal.net. I'd love to hear your take on this as well. And remember to listen up on the app to all the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with faux philosopher Matt Fonslow. Yeah, no, he's great. I love Matt. Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest. I gave him a plug in a webinar that I recorded earlier today as well. Once some coaches were talking about financial literacy, if that's what you're looking for, Hunt Demarest is the guy. And then, of course, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And I have to thank, once again, our sponsors here on the show. Thank you for joining us. AutoFlow, ShopDog Marketing, Call Inbound, and ServiceAdvisorTraining.com. We could not bring this content to our audience without your support. And our listeners, for listening, we thank you. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, and look further up and further in. Thank you.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about. Yeah.